Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Angels, and welcome to the show. I'm excited to be here tonight with a personal friend of mine who's an amazing, amazing woman. And I'm going to let her tell you about her story. I hope I have her, because you know how crazy it is sometimes with studios. So, Nikki, are you there? You are? Oh, we can't hear you. Anyway, so I'm waiting for her to come on, and I'm going to let her tell about her bio. If you guys will hold just a second, I'm going to go see if I can get her. Be patient with me, and I promise you she's going to be on. Oh, there she is, probably. Okay. There she is. Okay, good deal. Nikki, is that you?
Hi. Yes. Okay, great. I wasn't sure.
Good. Okay, because I was trying to get you, and it's like, here you are. Anyway, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here. Our lines are full, and I see a lot of 305, so a lot of people are listening in from our area, in Fort Lauderdale, South Florida, Miami area, and I know you're from Miami. And yes. I'm telling everybody, you're a friend of mine, and you're a personal development speaker, writer, teacher, and a coach, and you're out of Miami, Florida. And I know that you have a very special purpose here, on the planet, I'm going to say, because I know you're reaching out to a lot of different people from a lot of different cultures, and you've got some special gifts there. But you help people find their purpose, or help women specifically. And you knew about this as a child, that you were different and you were here for a purpose. How did you find that out when you were a little girl? How did you know that? That's a question that someone has sent me because they read the email. I was like, yeah, that's a good question. So how did you know?
I couldn't really put my finger on it. I just kind of, even though like my everything going on in my life like didn't point me in some sort of direction, I just kind of always had this feeling inside that I was like made for something bigger, and I was constantly looking for that. And, my story was actually not like very heroic in the beginning. I mean, I grew up with an older brother who just at the age of 3, he knew he was going to be a doctor, and he had this photo of himself like wearing scrubs at the age of 3 in his bedroom. And I always remember looking at him and being like, I wish I was like that. I wish I knew like what I was going to do with my life. One day I wanted to be a teacher. Another day I would want to be a toll collector. I thought like, being a toll collector on the road would be really cool because you could talk to so many people. So that was one of my dreams. I thought that would be like such a cool job. And then, I just went through nothing really stuck out to me growing up. I mean, I didn't excel in anything in particular, or at least I didn't notice that I excelled in anything. And then once I, got into college, I found it even more overwhelming because, you get into school through and you're 18 years old and they ask you, okay, pick a major. What are you going to do for the rest of your life? And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. Like, I'm only 18 years old. So that was really overwhelming. But what I did was I tried a bunch of different things. And although everybody told me to kind of, like, pick some safe route and pick some sort of, one of those degrees like an attorney or a doctor, something that was, safe and kind of formulaic. I still went against it, even not knowing what I was supposed to do. And I ultimately found writing. And although I didn't study writing or I was never really a writer, I just said, hey, I like this and I'm just going to do it. So I started off as a fashion and beauty writer, and I did that for many years, and I wrote for publications like Elle Magazine and Allure Magazine, The Huffington Post, things like that. But through that process, I started a blog, and it was really just like a hobby, and I didn't have any like purpose behind it. And the truth is that I was dating a guy who started the blog for me, and then 2 months later, he dumped me, and I was left with this blog. And I was like, great, what am I going to do with this blog? it's like kind of like leaving you with a dog.
Awful.
Yeah, it's like leaving you with like a dog, and you're like, what am I supposed to do with a dog? But I was left with a blog. And I was like, well, I thought he must be looking at it. Like, it's online. Like, he must, and this was in 2006 when not too many people were blogging. And I was like, well, I know it's online. I know he must be looking at it. So I'm just going to go on a bunch of bad dates, and I'm going to write about it. So that was my way of getting back to him. And through the dates, I actually ended up, you know, instead of trying to look at the negative, I learned a lot about myself, like, through the dating. And I just wanted to write about it. And I didn't think anybody was reading it. But eventually people started catching on, and they really liked my perspective. And they just felt like, oh, I'm not alone. Like, she's going through this as well. And I really wrote about my self-discovery process. And I was just very honest about it. And through that type of writing, and when people started reacting, I was like, oh, like, that's what it is, you know? And, I mean, I think that the reason, and, you know, and then that's when I just discovered that, like, what I really wanted to do was empower women, help them find, find the love that they have for themselves and go from there. And it kind of just evolved from there into what I do today. But I think to answer your question, I know that was a long answer, but my success was really in just trying things, like whatever felt right to me at that time, like whatever kind of passion or hobby I had, not really to kind of think too far in advance. I would just do
right.
Because it made me feel good at that moment, you know, and then let it lead into whatever it wanted to be. And really the blog was just something that I let it show me what it wanted to be, and then it became what it is, and then it's, you know, it told me who I was supposed to be. So
that's
yeah,
cool.
That's...
So, but you were going to repeat, you were going to have something you say, and so that's how the blog developed into you as a writer.
And that's one of my biggest advice, to kind of just follow what makes you, you know, pay attention to your feelings, like what is it that makes you happy, where is it that you lose time, and for me it was in writing, in particular kind of, you know, self-empowerment writing, self-discovery writing, and I just kept doing it until it kind of became something bigger.
I gotcha. I have a question to ask you, because you're talking about dating. And dating, and I've dated a lot. I've not settled down too much, but I dated a lot, right?
Yeah.
My mom and Deborah said, date to find a husband, but to date, learn to learn about other cultures, about yourself, about people, and it's been the most, it's been wonderful. But I find, and let me ask you this, women forget to just enjoy dating, and they think that when they go on the first date, they've got to find, is this the man for me? Have you come across that with women that you've interviewed, that you work with in workshops or have personal
friends?
Yes. That? Okay.
Yes.
Talk to
me
about
that.
Definitely
right. You're definitely right on. And my career started as a dating expert. I had columns, and that's kind of what I started off doing at first. And here's the thing. A lot of people look at dating as a means to an end, right? Like something that they have to go through in order to find happiness, right? So it's like, let me just rip off this Band-Aid and get this over with. And you know how it is, that if you bring that kind of energy to that process, like, what do you think you're going to get out of it? You're going to get a quick fix, and, you know, the quick fix is never, and since marriage is something that's supposed to be long-term, or a partnership is, you know, ideally something that's kind of, you know, somewhat long-term, if you go through the process rushing and just wanting to get it over with, you're going to end up with that kind of product. So, the trick is to see it more as a journey and not necessarily a means to an end, and to actually, you know, go on dates to enjoy people and to, learn about yourself as well, because everybody that we attract is usually mirroring something that we have inside. So
right.
It really is truly like a self-discovery process. And I always teach that you really kind of, you don't have to be, of course, 100%, happy and everything, but you want to be in a place that you feel good about, like, yourself, and you feel like, you know what, I can find happiness and on my own, so that you bring that to the table. Because, you know, happy people want to be with happy people. You know, nobody, you're not going to attract, like, this, wonderful, evolved person if you're not there yourself.
Right. That's very true. So it instead of about mating, it's really about dating, right? Because we're looking for that mate, and I was taught at a young age not to do that. And that's something I really believe in myself, you know, that's important. Let me ask you this. You spend, and I love this, the way you said this, you spend each day assisting those who cross your path. to find their life purpose and their personal road to greatness. Do you think finding a mate or a guy or a girl first, where you work mostly with women right now, I know your age range is 18 to 30, and you're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but do you feel like their life purpose and their mate is tied together, or do you think it's separate, or how do you, when a woman comes to you or a young girl comes to you, how do you address that to her? Share with us about how you talk to her about that.
Well, I wouldn't know it myself. That's a great question, Tree. I think that, most young women come looking for a partner because, as a society and just most of us, learn that happiness is in a relationship, in a man, or just, a partnership and marriage and children, and that's kind of, the goal, right? Like, those are the things we're supposed to check off the list. That's what we've been taught for the most part. Your mom, Therese, sounds awesome. She sounds like she had a very modern view, especially for her era, so that's awesome. But most of us, we grow up with, what we see on TV and what we see in the media and so forth. So if you can kind of get down, when I sit down with the girls and I ask them, well, why? Like, why do you want to be married or why do you want this, relationship? And, at the core, the answer is I want to be happy. Like, I'm just, looking to be happy, right? Like, I don't feel, I feel like I'm missing that. Like, I'm not happy until I have that, right? So it's interesting because the desire is really to be happy. So that's cool because now now I need to find something that makes me happy, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a man. And it really has to be, happiness has to come from something that is sustainable. And the only thing that really is sustainable is finding happiness within ourselves. And I truly believe that if we all listen to our calling, we each are here for a reason, we each have a calling, we each have a purpose. If we really listen to that, that will truly bring happiness, not only within ourselves, but to the outside, and will really change the world. So I do, ask them first, well, why is it that you want this relationship? They'll usually come and tell me that I just want to be happy. And then we'll talk about, well, what are things that can make you happy within yourself? And then once you find that purpose, you find a true reason, to wake up every morning, a reason to, that you feel excited and it answers the things that you've been looking for, that you were looking for in a mate, but you can actually find it within yourself. Not to say, I'm married, I have two children, and they're all compliments to my happiness, of course,
right.
And my husband also, I think part relationships are a beautiful way to learn about yourself. And I think it's brainstorming, it's a brainstorming process of who you are. You get to bounce ideas off of each other about what your life is about and who you really are. So I mean, of course, but I just don't feel that we should put all that pressure on somebody else to make us happy, because it's just so much to live up to. Imagine if somebody was putting that pressure on you and thinking, oh my God, somebody finds you and they're like, you're so wonderful, you're my happiness. And you have to live every day trying to make this person happy because they depend solely on you. And that's a lot of pressure. So that's why we really have to find something that's happiness that is sustainable. And anything, what's sustainable is the happiness that comes within ourselves, that comes from having some sort of purpose.
That's good. I like that. So you're saying, and let me ask you this. So you're saying that you find the happiness within yourself, because I always explain it like this. Love and your career or your job or your business or whatever are the same coin, just different sides. So if you're finding yourself and what turns you on or what gives you juice or what makes you happy, living the life you love and loving the life you live, then when you look at that person, it's not about completing you, right? It's about just being, walking the journey with you, as you say. That's good. I like that.
Right.
That's really good.
Right, that's
so, okay, now let me ask you a question. I'm really picking your brain too, because people are testing me. Ask her this, okay? So do you believe in the law of attraction? Which I think she just answered that, to the person, because you're saying what turns you on. Let's say you like horses, or you like houses, or you like whatever you like. Then if you find what makes you happy first, and do what you love, and that's part of your purpose, then you may meet your mate in that whole genre of stuff, right? Do you think so? Do you think that can happen?
I, like, I do think so, and it's interesting. I think that when we think about, like, the law of attraction, I think that we usually think of the superficial things, right? Like you know, I like poetry, and he likes poetry, and look, like, I attracted somebody that likes poetry, and I used to think that that's how it worked, right? Like, I was, you know, I considered myself a creative. I was an editor at a magazine, and I always thought that, you know, I was going to date another creative. I was going to, you know, date a musician, or, you know, God forbid I date, like, somebody in finance or a doctor. Like, we wouldn't want my mom to be happy. Like, I was definitely looking for something outside of that. And I remember meeting my husband, and my husband is the complete opposite of everything that I used to date. I mean, he's an entrepreneur, but he didn't have any of those stereotypical creative, let's say, you know, traits. And he lived in the suburbs, and, you know, and he just is so different from what I knew. But then once I got to, but I don't know, I just kind of gave him a chance because he was just such a good person, just like a nice person. And then once I got to know him, his insides were so much like my insides. And I think that that's really, his outsides were so different, meaning like the car he drove and where he lived and, you know, things like that. But his insides were like exactly my insights. And as we grow together, we've been married, it'll be 3 years now. As we grow together, like, it's just funny to see like how his insights are still my insights. And as we evolve together, like, we evolve through the same thing. So it's really important about, and that's why I say like dating is really like a self-discovery process, really getting to know your insides, because I mean, all that, you know, all that, you know, the looks and the, and even the hobbies, like, they change, you know, and maybe you're into cycling now, but, you know, 15 years from now, maybe, like, not so much. So it's really not, it's not so much sometimes about the exterior, but about, like, how the interior, you know, like, how you view life, like, what are your beliefs, like, how do you go through life, how do you think life should be, because that's what you're really going to attract. It's so interesting, because I see that with my husband every day.
That is cool. I love that. So I'm going to ask you this. You're attracted to your husband's insides because his insides were like yours. And if I'm going to ask you this, and if you need to think about it and we'll come back to it, that's cool. But give me an example. Give us all an example because we've got a lot of people listening. So give an example of that because I want people to really understand what you're saying. Okay?
I can definitely answer that. I'll give you, like, this is not really how his insides were, but it was just kind of a funny thing that started happening to me. So when I first started dating him, I was like, oh, I can't date this guy. Like, he's just so different from me. He would never understand, like, my world and all that stuff. And I remember, but of course, I was still going on through the relationship because he was cute and nice. So I was like, well, let's just do this. So I remember the first time I slept over his house, I was going to bed and he opens up his little, you know, the side from the nightstand, and he whips out, like, some chapstick, and he puts chapstick on. And then he's like, oh, and then he gets up, and he's like, do you want some water? I'm going to go get a glass of water. And I'm like, sure. So he comes in, he sits down, and he gets a glass of water and gives me one. And I'm, like, looking at this guy, and, like, I do this. Like, it's just a weird thing that I do every night. I put chapstick before I go to sleep, and I have to drink, like, a glass of water. And he's the same. It was, like, for me, I think it was, like, a sign from the universe, like, Nikki, don't judge so quickly. Like, he may be a lot like you. And so that was always, like, and that was kind of what woke me up and was, like, you know, just get to know him, and you're going to see that he's probably more like you than you think. So one of the things I noticed is that we, for instance, we are both extremely creative. My husband can build you a house out of, like, a piece of wood and some rubber bands. And I would have never known that about him. So he sees, you know, he sees the world like I wouldn't have never known him because his career isn't anything, you know, creative. We have a tendency to want to save people. We get a lot of we're both working through that, but we do get a lot of, like, our self-esteem from saving people. And, you know, as we got into the relationship, I guess I needed a little bit of saving, and he did as well. And and now as we grow, we're realizing, like, oh, God, like, the saving is done for each of us. So now what? So that was interesting. We both came into the relationship really wanting to, like, save somebody and you know, and be that, like, be that angel for each other, and we did. We did help each other heal through with a lot of things, but we've kind of closed that circle now, and now we're kind of looking at each other like, okay, like, what do we do now? So that was something, yeah, that was something that we both had. We're both from the exterior not sensitive, but in the interior extremely sensitive, and we wouldn't have known that after, you know, until you get deep into the relationship. So, you know, the good and the bad, right? Like, you know, wanting to save people isn't necessarily, like, a great trait all the time, you know?
Right.
And if you don't know that about yourself and you attract something like that, like, it could, you know, it could be a scary thing. So getting to know, you know, how, you know, also one of the things about my husband and I is when we first met, we, like, believed life was a struggle. I didn't even know I had that belief, but, like, oh, life is supposed to be hard. And we kind of, like, would, like, kind of pity ourselves for, like, all the hard work we would go through. And I didn't know that about myself until like, I saw it in him, and I was like, oh, I don't like that. And then he saw it in me, and he was like, oh, I don't like that. So we worked together to make sure we didn't see life like that anymore. But if we weren't so open, like, it could have kind of, like, destroyed the relationship a little bit, you know? But, you know, knowing those things about yourself, knowing that you're going to attract that. So it's nice to know, like what you have inside so that it doesn't catch you off guard when you see it in somebody else. Do you know what I mean?
So that's, I got you. So it's about you're independent in the universe, and you marrow each other, so you married each other with the chapstick and sensitivity and also saving. What you guys are doing now is empowering each other, which is cool. I mean, what a great relationship, and in your work and in your relationship. And I know that I love hearing about him because he's amazing. I'm so happy for you. I remember meeting you when you were dating and during your serial dating. That's what some people call it. Workshops. And that you've created, and do you really help the women that come to you focus on finding their passion, their joy within themselves, and then being able to find that mate, and maybe they don't need to save the mate because you guys have already learned that, and you can help others now learn it too before they get married if they choose. So your workshops, do they consist of some of the things that you've learned yourself that you teach others? How do they work? Share with us about that, because it's about self-love, which is so cool, I think.
The one workshop that I'm launching again now in August, it's called Answers Within, and that really is the one that helps you find your life purpose. It's more of a focus on that. I always say those are like the tools that we never learned in school, you know, like the ones that, you know, they didn't teach you in high school or in college, and it's really about, like, accessing your intuition and learning how to be present and, you know, like, learning to find out what your passions are, and then once you find those passions, like, how could you, you know, if you choose to, like, make a living doing it. And things like that. And they really do. I mean, it's amazing to you because, like, you know, when you put curriculum together, you're like, oh, I'm not sure if it's going to work out. but you got to test it out anyways. So I have been testing it for the past 2 years, and I perfected it finally into a workbook. But it does tremendously work out, and all these girls are just moving mountains, the one that I've worked with. So that one is just it's a six-week process, and, you know, you start from the beginning. You start from, like, your beliefs and, like, really looking within and being like, well, what is it that I believe? Like, what's going on inside? And that shows you why you're attracting the things you're attracting, you know, once you know what's going on inside of you. And then all the way till the end, which is when, you know, you actually discover what your passions are and how you're going to move forward from there. And then go ahead.
I was going to ask you, so you've got the guide to where it's a 6-week course where they can find their passion, they can find the limiting beliefs that they have, right? Like yours is,
right.
I got to work hard, right? So it's more about working
smart
than hard.
Like, that was holding me back.
I got you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what would be an example of a belief that somebody has that they may not know, and it's just a silent record that's going on? Because I get it. The subconscious has all this stuff. We just got to learn to access it, change it, and put a new record on, or a new CD, or a new MP3, whatever. What is the belief that you've seen before that
God,
women
there's
have
so
had?
Much there's so many that like, and there's a lot of universal beliefs. One of the ones are that I need to be saved, right? Like, I can't figure out my financial situation on my own. I can't be happy on my own.
Okay.
I can't have the things I want on my own. I need somebody to come in and save me, like somebody that's going to come in like and pick up the slack for me. So I definitely had that. Like, you know, I was always kind of believed that like somebody was going to kind of scoop me out of my misery. Then there is like the belief of, I'm not enough. Like, I'm not worthy. Like, I don't deserve big things. I don't deserve love. You know, some people think that one belief I was taught early on, I actually didn't pick it up, but they were trying to teach it to me, you can't make money doing something you love, you know, that you can, that's like silly and immature. So a lot of people come in thinking that what they love is like a hobby and it, you know, you can't necessarily, if you want to, you can't make a career out of it. That's one. What do you see, Tari? I bet you got some good ones as well.
I wanted you to, because people are listening and I was like, okay, she's getting it. She's got a 6-week course that help you change that. And then you start, and it's almost like creating a whole clean slate that you can work from and then attract a career like purpose. A man, and I'm saying a man or a woman, you know, it doesn't really matter, the mate
yeah,
for
fine.
You.
Yeah, exactly. And then the dating stuff that I do, I do talks, but I don't necessarily do a course. But I do have a book coming out in September that it's titled "Will I Be Alone Forever?" and other dating questions I wish a psychic would answer. So that one is that one's really it's a book to help you enjoy the dating process, and I kind of loved writing it, and it's just really. It's just a combination of a lot of, you know, of the things that I've learned through coaching women, through, you know, teaching, you know, doing the speaking engagements, and through my own experience. Because I dated, like you said, like a serial, I was a total serial dater. I mean, I was really good at it.
I made your plan. That was true.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of information there, and I appreciate you being, you know, dating a lot is cool, and you learn about yourself. So a great way you said it, it's about a journey and learning about yourself, learning about different people, and you've got a lot of good experience there to share. So this book is coming out when? Next month or in September, you said? Will
in
I Be Alone Forever?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
all
so
the
I
other dating questions, you're like, you're a psychic, wasn't able to answer. How
you were just
psychic,
yeah.
Like
yeah. Because, you know, you get to the point that you're like, listen, just tell me, like, am I going to be alone forever? Because at least I can start prepping myself, you know, and making more room for my cats or something. And I feel like we all get to that point. Like, just let me know. Like, I would like to know.
Yeah, there you go. That's cool. I appreciate that. Now, you said something, too, about you help women, and this is, I'm really big on all the stuff you're talking about, but people finding their own intuition because they look for answers or look for fish from a psychic or a coach, and if you're a good coach, you're going to give someone a fishing pole. So, and maybe the fishing pole is always within ourselves, right? You know, so we can all do our own fishing rather than going to get answers. So you really believe in helping people find their own wisdom inside. And your courses, do you go over that? Do you teach that, or do you help people discover that? I'm not sure what the way to say that, but you said it.
Yeah. No, yeah, that is, like, the premise of, like, all my teaching, really, because, you know, where kind of it started was when I was single and I was like, you know what, I was already coming up with all these ideas to write some sort of dating book, and I started shopping around and looking at what was on the market, and, you know, obviously one of the most popular ones is He's Just Not That Into You, and I would read those books and something like that, and it was all these, like, one-size-fit-all tips, you know, like, if he does this, do this. He texts you here, do this in return. And I thought, oh, my God, that's, like, so scary. Like, what if I'm on the date and none of those scenarios are in the book? Like, what am I going to do? You know, like, where's the author? Like, is he going to be, like, can I get, like, an earpiece where I can, like, talk to him, like, through the earpiece? Like, and he can give me advice right. while I'm on the date. So I just was like, this is not, like, you know, I just always thought to him, like, this is not sustainable. Like, I mean, I don't want to be going on a date and, like, not know what to do. Like, how can I always know what to do? Like, I want to be in a place where, like, I always know what to do. That I, you know, like, how amazing would that be? Like, in every scenario, any challenge, you know what to do. And I was like, there has to be a way. And kind of when I started my process, and I was like, you know, there has to be a way to be able to find those answers within yourself. And I did, and I found that. So then I teach that, because I don't want the girls to just use, you know, like, I don't want them to feel dependent on me, because I'm not always going to be there for them. You know, like, I'm not, you know, right. when they're on a date, I'm not going to be able to tell them. So I want them to have the tools to actually be able to answer those questions on their own. So it is, you know, like, the more you get to know yourself, the more you're going to realize that the answers are within yourself. And everybody has, like, that, even psychic abilities, like, everybody has that. You know that. You taught me that, Sheree.
Yeah, you do. And therefore, when we all tap into that inner wisdom within each and every one of us, we can really co-create and create a great life. I get it. So that's super, super important. You know what? You're an expert. And I'm looking at you've been featured in Huffington Post, MSN.com, Babbel.com, Miami New Times, Aventura Magazine, and you're teaching relationship classes in Miami Beach. And I know that you wrote relationship columns for Miami New Times and Disney.com. I think if we all could go to Disney every day, we didn't have any problems. I love Disney.
Right? I mean, isn't that funny that Disney wanted a relationship column? I thought that was funny.
I thought that was cute. Yes.
Yeah.
But go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say. Was that fun, being featured in all those? Was that like, I'm making a difference? Or is that how you felt when you got it?
Yeah, you know how it is, Terry, that, like, you know, once you hit a milestone, you're like, okay, I'm ready for the next one. But I have gotten into the practice of, you know, patting myself on the back when I do reach those things, you know, and taking a moment and being like, oh, like, Nikki, like, great job. Like, that's awesome. And that's the same thing with dating, right? Like, you know, one day you go on a date and you're like, you know what? I didn't connect with the guy, but I still had a good time. Like, I should pat myself on the back for that, because before, you know, 3 months ago, I couldn't do that. So obviously I'm growing.
Right.
And it's the same process that I go through as a teacher and a speaker. You know, you kind of hit a milestone and you have to stop and pat yourself on the back, because it is a journey. You know, it's not like you reach a milestone and you're like, oh, I made it, I'm here. I think you're always climbing, you know, you're always hiking through the journey.
That's right. I get you. And I get it, agree with you 100%, because if you're chasing your passion, opportunity, cash flow will always chase you. That's that philosophy I believe in. And so you're striving and never getting comfortable. Get comfortable is not good, I think, you know. So,
yeah. Let me
ask you this.
It's the balance.
Yeah, there you go. Because I know you're a mom, but with two children, and you've got a little one, and you've got a tween. How old is your daughter, and how old is your son? And how do you balance being an entrepreneur, being a great speaker, an author, motivation coach? How do you do all that? What's the balance? How do you balance that? Because you just said something about balance, and share with us about that. And your dog, your puppy. I remember that little Yorkie.
Yes, and I have a dog. My daughter is, she's a tween in training, because it's amazing, like, how young they become tweens. But she'll be nine next month. And my son is, and my daughter, she's actually my stepdaughter, but she lives with us full time, so she feels like mine. And then my son is 13 months, so he's just a little guy, Aww. But he's so much fun. And then my dog is 8 years old, and she's a child all on her own. And I guess
yeah. I have two dogs.
She's
I
been with
and a daughter too.
Yeah, you know how it is. And she's been with me the longest, so I think she feels she feels like she has the most seniority. So she, and she tries to tell everybody that. but yeah,
oh,
how I found that, I mean, you know what? I think that question, you know, of course that question comes up all the time. And I think I balance it the same way like everybody else balances their life. You know, I think that even people that are not parents are, everything's relative, you know, so everybody kind of feels torn in different directions, no matter in every stage of their life, you know, no matter where they are. What I do is, you know, my practice really is to be present wherever I am, you know, like, so in the mornings, I wake up very early, you know, around 5 so that I can have my meditation practice and my yoga and all that. And then I'll sit down and I'll write for a little bit. And then my kids wake up. My husband wakes up. My husband leaves. My you know, I stay with the kids. I get them ready for wherever it is that they're going. Sometimes I stay with them. Now in the summer, it's a little, you know, on and off. But wherever I am, I really try to be there, right? Because, you know, even if I have 2 hours with my kids that stay in the morning, and then I'm going to go work for, you know, 6 hours. Like, I don't want to be working for 6 hours thinking about, like, oh, what I could have done with my kids or, like, you know, or being guilty for not being
right
with them. But if I give them 2 quality hours and, you know, I'm actually looking at them and I'm engaging with them and we're playing or you're learning something or we're laughing, like, at least I know that I was there. And to me, I really feel like it's quality over quantity, you know?
Right.
And that's even, you know, with my husband, we have like very limited time now. Like, he's an entrepreneur himself, you know, and we both have very busy lives, but when we're together, you know, and it's hard, you know, some days I'm like, okay, Nikki, like put the phone away or like put the computer away. Like even, the other thing, Sheree, honestly, that I learned too, there is really no such thing as balance. I think sometimes, like, sometimes it's all about work, sometimes it's all about the kids, or sometimes it's all about, you know, the husband. But I think that once, what really saved me was when I realized that life is messy, that there's no, that, you know, sometimes you look at other people and they seem like they have it all together and you think, oh my God, like, she must have some amazing planner that I don't have. Like, or she has like a really great software, some like really good organizational software that I don't know about. And that's why she's organized and I'm not. You know, I used to always think like there was some secret organization skill that I was missing out on. And then, you know, and I found what it was, and it's the understanding that life is messy, you know, and being okay with everything being messy and you know, kind of chaotic and, like, just knowing that, like, you know, not everything is going to be perfect and it's not going to work out. You know, the timing is not going to always work out like that. But if you can keep going and you can keep going with humor, then that's how you get things done, you know. But rather, what delays us from like, getting things done and feeling, you know, and feeling like we're being productive is, like, the stops in between, you know, when you're, like, when, you know, let's say you have you had a really big project to do and your children are supposed to go to school and that's when you have the time to do the project. But all of a sudden, you know, the kids get really sick and they need you and you need to be home and you can't you can't finish up the project. And instead of, you know, getting so caught up in the fact that you can't do it, and oh my God, like, that can linger, like, that feeling can linger for like a good 3 days, and you lose all that time. When if you were just like, you know, this is how it is, like, it's messy, and, like, you know, it's not always going to go as planned, then you can move on to the next state a lot faster, and that's where you gain the time.
I appreciate that. That's so true. And you talk about living and being in the moment, being in the now. Man, what a cool thing. Life is being where you are when you're with that person or that situation. Thank you. That's a great combination that you just shared. I appreciate that so very much.
Yeah, thank you. And I just want to say that it's a daily practice. You know, like, I don't think, you know, like, I don't want people to think that that there's something, you know, wrong with them, that they know what being present is, but they can't do it every day. And it's just a daily practice. And it's a muscle, and I don't think it's never perfect. God knows that I'm not present every moment, every day. But if you just can keep that in mind, it'll happen more often.
Yeah, your intention. I appreciate that. So a couple things, because we're getting close to the end of the show. Are you still looking for a publisher or for a girl's guide to finding your purpose?
Yeah, I am. I'm still looking. I'm still looking for a publisher for The Answers Within, the guide to finding your purpose. And the dating book, I'm just self-publishing like that. I'm just, I just want to get that out to the world because it's needed and it's fun, and I'm so excited to put it out. But yes, I'm looking for that. And you know what I'm looking for, Tari? I'm looking for more Instagram followers.
Okay, so well, share with us how we can do
Instagram.
That. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah, my Instagram is just my name. It's Nikki Novo, which is NikkiNov, like Victor O. And I share a lot of cool little, inspirational tips and lots of, just how to live the lifestyle of, a holistic lifestyle. So I share that as well.
So. Very nice. Okay. Now, I know I want to, you betcha, NikkiNovo.com is your website. And you guys, I want to get her, or Angel Coaches, I say I. Angel Coaches wants her to teach a workshop with us. Too as well.
Yes.
So we're, Nikki and I are going to be working on that because I have a lot of people. And everybody was excited about your show tonight. And the next time I'm going to get them to ask questions, but I didn't ask her if I could do that. So I'll make sure that I ask you next time. But a couple questions I have before we end the show. You are starting a new project where you are traveling and speaking in colleges. Share with us. We've got about a minute or two left, and then I'm going to close the show. But what's that all about for people? And tell us your website again.
Tari, you're so kind. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share. So Answers Within, the Girl's Guide to Finding Her Purpose. I feel... Like I said, I feel very strongly that if we all have if we all know our purpose and we actually live it out, the world would be a better place. So I feel very close to the message. So I decided that, if we can get the girls younger thinking about this, as young as high school and college, we have a better chance of turning around the world quickly. So I've decided that I want to go out on a speaking tour, just talking about it is a possibility that that we all have a purpose, that we all have a calling, and that it is a possibility to be able to listen to it and actually follow through with it. And I will have my workbook and my course for sale, but it's really I just want to wake people, wake young women up and men, of course, young men in the process. And if they want to continue on with the course, great. But if they don't, I just want them to know that they have a purpose and they have a calling. So I'll be doing that. I'll be doing that hopefully in next fall semester, let's say. And I am trying to get a brand that would sponsor the tour. Somebody that a brand that wants to get in front of these young women in a positive way and wants to make a positive impact on the world. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm so confident it will happen. It's, just a process.
There you go. Yeah, and you're going through the process. So you're getting you're looking for a publisher, someone to a sponsor, I think, a brand, as you say, and Nikki Novo, sponsors your Instagram, NikkiNovo.com is her website. And what's your Instagram again?
My Instagram is my name. It's Nikki Novo, so all one word, NikkiNov as in Victor O. And if you follow me, let me know that you heard me on the radio. And if you have any other questions, just ask me through any of the photos that are up on Instagram, and I'm happy to answer.
That's wonderful. And you guys, we're never back, Nikki brings a lot of, she brings a lot of things to the table here, and I'm super excited about being able to have the opportunity to have you on the show tonight. So, on that note, here's the deal. Follow us on facebook.com/angelcoaches, and also follow us on blogtalkradio.com/angelcoaches. You get a lot of neat things when you do that. And our next show is going to be Sunday evening at 6:30 p.m. It's about a relationship show. So, and there's a law that he's attracted to me. So you guys take care. Have a great night, and we will see you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, Therese.